To the Lord in prayer. Amen. Luke chapter 19 this morning. Luke chapter 19. I want to speak this morning on disappointments. Probably in your life you've never been disappointed about anything, so you might not even want to hear this, but it might be good for the future. You never know. Thomas Fuller wrote, "We are born crying, we live complaining, and we die disappointed." What a great, great synopsis of what our life is all about, you know. Somebody else said, "Youth is a mistake and old age is a regret." Man, let's be dismissed in prayer. Amen. Too many disappointments come from sometimes too high expectations. And when we look at what the Lord has for us, a lot of ours is future. Amen? I know He can comfort, He can strengthen, He can guide, He can help, all of those things. But man's days are few and full of trouble. And there is a lot of sorrow here, and one day God's going to wipe away all tears from our eyes. But there are a lot of disappointments in this life. Maybe you expect a short sermon today. Well, I'll tell you right now, you're going to be disappointed, amen? Of course, we have a visitor, and I might cut it down from 2 hours to hour and a half, so we'll do that. But sometimes you go to a restaurant, and you order your meal, and you're expecting some great meal, and you get disappointed. Sometimes you purchase something. Boy, I can't wait to install this, or put this on, or whatever, or use this. And then you're disappointed. If you're a Lions fan, you live with disappointment your entire life. You just, those things happen. The election is coming up. You may be disappointed it doesn't go your way. It might. Health is a great thing. Amen. But we're all wearing out. We're moving a little slower. Sometimes we repeat ourselves. Sometimes we repeat ourselves. And sometimes we get disappointed in other people. You ever get disappointed in other people? Yes. And probably other people are disappointed in us. And that seems to be the way of life. There's a verse in Proverbs, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it's a tree of life." But hope deferred. So it depends on what we have our hope in. If we have our hope in things that are going to disappoint us, and it doesn't fulfill an expectation, then we will always be heartsick. That's the way life will be. But when our hope is in the Lord and the things that He can do and our future, that is like an anchor, you know? It's steadfast and sure. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him. For He's the help of my countenance in one verse, and He's the health of my countenance in another verse that says the same thing. So we hope in God, amen? You ever ask yourself that? Why am I so down? You know? And sometimes it's because of what we're thinking, because of what our expectations are, because of our circumstances. And so we can lift those things just by turning to the Lord. Last week I preached on divine appointments, and I found this poem. And I'd just like to read some of it. Again, we have some copies here. But Job 23:14, "He performeth the thing." Paul doesn't like the message today, so he's just turning me off back there. But "He performeth the thing that is appointed for me." Appointed. You have Job 14:5. "Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass." And so we talked about it's appointed unto man, and all the different appointments that we have. But here's the poem. Disappointment, his appointment. "Change one letter, then I see that the thwarting of my purpose is God's better choice for me. His appointment must be blessing, though it may come in disguise. For the end from the beginning, open to his wisdom lies." And if you want one of those, there's a lot of verses to it. I don't want to take the time to read it, but it's interesting. Disappointment, his appointment. "All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." So We look at those things. You ever been disappointed in God? And don't answer that, because we're probably all in the same boat. We expected help. We expected an answer to prayer. We expected circumstances or people to change or just whatever. And it didn't work out the way we thought it would. We prayed about it and it wasn't answered. We say, well, I'm disappointed. Well, who are we disappointed in? Are we disappointed that we didn't pray enough? Are we disappointed that maybe God doesn't want to answer us? But ultimately, it would be the Lord that we're disappointed in. Mark chapter 4, the disciples were in a boat with the Lord, and there was a big storm that came up. Jesus had already said, Mark chapter 4, let's go over to the other side. Well, if he said that, you're probably going to get to the other side. Amen? There was a big storm, but when you get to chapter 5, it says, and they came over to the other side. Between the great promise that God gave and the great fulfillment was a great storm. And in the time of that storm, they said to the Lord, carest thou not that we perish? They forgot 10,000 mercies with the circumstances of one troubling time, one test. They forgot all about what the Lord had done for them. So we're going to read some verses in Luke chapter 19, and we'll see what God has for us today. So let's begin in verse 28, Luke chapter 19, verse 28. And when he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, or at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do ye loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. That's an interesting statement. We'll continue reading in a minute, but the Lord hath need of this colt. He's going to ride into Jerusalem. You know they're going to throw their coats down and the palm leaves, and they're going to say Hosanna to the Lord. But he said, I need that colt. Obviously, it was a fulfillment of prophecy. When Jesus healed the blind man, he needed clay. And he put clay on the blind man's eyes. Sometimes it's good just to be clay in the master's hands. Amen? Because he has need of us. I remember when I was ordained back in 1980 at 6 years old. It's amazing, really amazing. But I was ordained to the ministry, and then we went out and we started a church in Sturgis. And the message, the ordination message that the preacher preached was out of Psalms, Moab is my washpot. And I remember, I have a copy of it, and he said over and over, Paul, just be an old washpot for God. The washpot in your kitchen gets used more than the fine china. Amen? And it might not be as pretty, but it's a lot more practical, and it's used all the time. And I praise the Lord for that message. It's helped me through the years. Just be an old washpot for God, because God can use you however he wants to use you. We'll go on. Verse 32. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. This is an amazing story. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. And they had seen a lot of miracles, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Remember when the message was given to the shepherds at the Lord's first coming, when he was born into this world, his birth, the heavenly host said, peace on earth and glory to God in the highest. Here it says, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. This reminds us of Matthew chapter 23,
where Jesus preached the message. And he comes to the end of the message and he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often I would have gathered you as a mother hen gathereth her chicks, but ye would not. And then he said, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Prophecy, that's what was going to be coming. They were going to be taken captive again. The destruction of Jerusalem was going to take place. They were going to be in bondage. The Bible goes on here, and he says, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemy shall cast a trench about thee, encompass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children with thee, within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. I came, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. He was the king, and they said, we have no king but Caesar. And so this judgment came upon them. And Jesus, and he went into the temple and began to cast them out that sold therein and them that bought, saying unto them, it is written, my house is the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And he taught daily in the temple, but the chief priests and scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him. What a message. What a disappointment, you know. All that was provided for that nation, all that could have been appropriated, but they refused and they rejected the Savior. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, bless us today. Help us to hear your word and Lord, to be encouraged by it, to be helped by it. We look to you and we pray that you would make all of our hearts tender and Lord, that we would honor and glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Does this sound okay to everybody? Is it? No, it sounds a little tinny. Seems like that up here. If you could adjust that some, Paul. In verses 28 through 34, just a little teachy thing here, you see the Lord's authority. He says, bring that colt because I have need of him. And I have authority to give you that message. And when you give that message to somebody else who the colt belongs to, they will automatically give that colt to you. So we see his authority. Wow. And you see power in the pulpit too. Amen? Boy, it just comes on. I want to read some verses if you want to turn over to Colossians chapter 1. That is still not good, Paul. I don't know. We might want to go with the pulpit. Well, the pulpit mic wouldn't work for recording, would it? Anyway, we're working on this. All you out there in TV land, you know, there's, anyway, we're working on this. Colossians chapter 1. Now, these verses are powerful verses, and they're true verses. And when you think about who our God is, this is amazing who he is. Let's begin reading here in verse 14. Speaking of our Savior, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. It says the same thing in Revelation. We were created for his pleasure. We have the next verse. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. In all things, that he might be first. Amen? What a blessing, and he's certainly worthy of that. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. If you follow me, you'll not walk in darkness. And so we delight in that because he guides our steps and leads our path. Jesus has a right to have authority over us, but lordship is a choice. For him to be preeminent in everybody's life, we come to those choices all the time. Should I honor him today? Should I honor myself? And we make the choice. In verses 35 through 38, we see the honor and worship he is deserving of. The people were shouting, Hosanna. They were throwing their coats
in front of him, and he was riding on that donkey. And we'll come back to this in a minute. Verse 42, he weeps over the city. He's weeping for himself. Let's just go to this, Paul. Let's go to the pulpit mic.
We find that he's weeping over the city and not self-pity. He's weeping for those that have rejected his message. And have you ever had that? Somebody you love, somebody that was dear to you, and you prayed for them and you wanted God to bless them and you could see them going the wrong direction. Sometimes we can see things afar off and it just breaks your heart to see the direction of some people. Verses 45 through 48, we see his judgment. We see him cleansing the temple. He says, my house is a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. In Mark chapter 15 and verse 11, the Bible says the chief priests were moved the people that he should release Barabbas unto them. They moved the people. And so these religious people were moving the people against the Lord. Remember in Galatians, here's a church that was started by the Apostle Paul, and he was taught, they were taught by him, and it was a blessed place. And he said when he revisited them, he said, I marvel that you were so soon removed from the gospel, from the truth. And sometimes to be moved quickly shows a lack of depth in our life. We're all tempted to be moved. We're all tempted, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Matthew 26:56. All this was done that the scriptures might be fulfilled, that all the disciples forsook him and fled. I've been pastoring about 40 years now, and I've seen a lot of people come and go, and I've seen people that I thought would be faithful to the Lord not be, and I've seen people that I thought wouldn't be faithful to the Lord, they are, and sometimes we ride the roller coaster, and you can ask my wife, I'm not always everything I need to be. I think a couple times in our 40-some years of marriage, I've been like that. A little joke there, amen. You know, and we all, you know, we're up and we're down and we're up and we're down, but thank God, you know, we keep coming back. I heard a message one time on the prodigal pig out of the book of Peter. Like the sow returns to its wallowing in the mire, the fool returns to his folly. He goes back, but then you have the prodigal son. He gets out in the muck and the mire, but he returns to the father. Amen. It's a good story. But sometimes we get away and we come back. It's always good to come back, and God's always willing for us to come back. Two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Christ has been crucified, but he's alive now. He's resurrected, but these two disciples didn't know it. And in Luke 24:17, Jesus said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? Are you a stranger around here? Haven't you heard? The Lord's been crucified. And then when they found out it was him, they went on their way rejoicing, didn't they? 2 points. They were disappointed because he didn't become their king. Blessed is the king that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, here is the king. Here's the Messiah. Here's the Son of God. This is amazing. He's here. And he's going to deliver us from Roman bondage, and he's going to be our king. But he didn't become their king, did he? He was despised and rejected of men, man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He had to die on a cross to pay the penalty for our sin. They were disappointed that he didn't resist the cross. Matthew 27:42, here's the accusation. He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him come down from the cross. No, it says let him now come down from the cross. He was going to come down from the cross. He was going to be resurrected again. But let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. We are disappointed that he didn't answer our prayer. We are disappointed that he didn't bring the kingdom in. We are disappointed that he let himself be crucified. He gave himself. He gave his cheeks to those that would pull out his beard. He gave himself for our sins. Amen? And if we understand that, we praise the Lord that he was crucified. Not that he suffered, but that he paid our penalty. Amen? And so we look at that and we see this great disappointment. There was a disappointment in his message when he was alive on earth. John chapter 6. He was talking about being the bread of life. And what a message that was. It's good to read that. But it says in verse 66, John 6, 6, 6. I don't know if it has any significance. But it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And what was that time? This is a hard saying. What he was teaching them was hard to accept, hard to understand. And so they went back and they walked no more with him. They were disappointed in the message. In the message. You ever sat in a church service and sometimes you're disappointed? It's just common. You ever watch a movie and you get halfway through it and you say, why am I watching this movie? You know? You ever get to the end when it's over and you go, why did I watch that movie? You're so disappointed in it. But I mean, every word of God is pure. It's just such a blessing, this Bible. He's worthy. He's the King. He's the Messiah. He's the Son of God. He's the Creator. He is the Savior of the world. In Luke chapter 19, verse 36, as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. Matthew 21:8, and a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. This is a big deal. This is quite a day. John 12:13, they took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. That's why they call it Palm Sunday. Hosanna. Hosanna is an expression of adoration. It's an expression of joy. It's an expression of praise. Hosanna. And they're all crying, Hosanna, and they're throwing their garments and these palm leaves down. And it's an exciting day. Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Not long after that, the message changed. Why? Because they didn't believe he was who he said he was. They were moved by other opinions. Even Pilate. Pilate says to the crowd, what shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? He said, I find no fault in him. No fault at all. And there was a dream. Remember the dream? And all of the things that God was trying to say to him. But he says, what should I do? And they said, what? Crucify him. And so Pilate let them have their way. Luke 23:21, they cried saying, crucify him, crucify him. The people were led to believe that Jesus was not who he said he was. And we live in a day and age, don't we? That people are not flocking to the Lord, but they're departing from the Lord. There is a spirit of Antichrist that's already in the world. And we've taught prophecy and we see all of these things coming. All you have to do is turn the news on. You see them coming. You see the state of the world, the state of our country. Matthew 4:3. Jesus is on the Mount of Temptation. And the devil tempted him with the same three temptations, because he's the second Adam, as the first Adam went through. And the first Adam failed. But the second Adam was victorious. But here's what the devil did. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God. That's a satanic if. He is the Son of God. If thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. Verse 6. And saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For God said, he shall give his angels charge over thee. If you're the Son of God. In verse 40, saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, the crowd cried, come down from the cross. It's amazing. It's a satanic if, isn't it? I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he's the Savior of the world. Does he answer all of my prayers? Every one. Not the way that I want him answered, but he answers prayer. Amen? Because in his providence, in his preeminence, in his all wise decisions, you know, and how he orchestrates everything. It is appointed. I can trust him. You ever make a wrong decision? Okay, three of you? Okay. If you make a wrong decision, but you thought at the time it was the right decision. God never makes a wrong decision. Ever. So we get on board. He's the light, so we follow that light. When we speak of commitment or faith or trust or joy or truth, what do we think about God? What do we think about the Word? In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and perfect will of God. So we say, okay, God, here I am, right? Not my will, but thy will be done, because his will, not my way, but your way. His ways are higher than our ways. 1 Corinthians 6:20, you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Hebrews 11:26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt, for he had respect, speaking of Moses, he had respect unto the recompense of the, here's what it's all about, the reward. It's future. It's future. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The sufferings of this present time. Paul said, I suffer the loss of all things and count them but dung, that I may win Christ. What a powerful truth. Amen? Why could somebody say that? You know, because it's future. Right now, I mean, it's rough, isn't it? I mean, the prince of the power of the air and spiritual wickedness and in high places and the rulers of the darkness of this world. I mean, it's everywhere. And here we are, you know, the truth is fallen in the streets. I mean, the verses are endless. The stories are endless in the Bible. As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be also in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I can't believe some of the things I hear on TV or read. They're just lies. They're blatant lies. Deceiving and being deceived. And yet, there's a whole multitude that follow that. What's the answer? Come, Lord Jesus. Amen? And he is coming because he promised he would come. He said, I will come again. And I go away to prepare a place for you, but I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye may be also. I mean, it's a promise. It's a promise. But when you look out here, we'll drive home today, maybe go to a restaurant. You got to wear your mask in, right? You get all the, enough comment on that. But all of the things going on in the world today, the restrictions, the fears, the control, and you say, come, Lord Jesus, he's coming. They were disappointed. The disciples were disappointed because he didn't come as king when they wanted him to come as king. He didn't come down or keep himself from going to the cross. And they said, wow, it's over. So everything he said wasn't true. And so in the last days, there are scoffers saying, where is the promise of his coming? For all things continue as they were since the fathers fell asleep. It's all the same. No, it isn't. Hang on, because he's coming. Think about those that laid their coats in his way. Think of the joy that act of worship was. Hosanna. They're shouting. They're giving their coats. And this animal's walking over them. Amazing. Just praise to God. Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. But how their message and their actions changed towards him when their perception changed of how he should have done things. Well, he's the king. How come he's not being a king? You know, he's the Messiah. How come he allowed them to put him to death? And it changed their whole perception. Really, that is an issue today. That is an issue with lost loved ones. That's an issue with the world. Many times it's an issue in our own life. Why doesn't he do something? Why doesn't God step in and do something? Why is he doing it this way? Because he has a plan. He has a plan. Luke chapter 4. Well, you know, in Acts what is it? Acts chapter 14. Paul and, I hope I get the story right. Paul and Moses? No, it wouldn't be Paul and Moses, right? Paul and Barnabas, they heal a man and the people see that and they want to worship Paul and Barnabas as gods. And so they say, Barnabas, you can be Jupiter, and Paul, you're Mercurius, and we're because of Mercury, and because he was the chief. And so they said, we're going to worship you as gods. And they said, no, we're just men like you. God did that. A little bit later on, the Jews came from another city and moved the people. They moved the people, and these people stoned Paul and left him for dead. From a god to a murderer. That's what they did. You go, I think it's Acts 28, and there's a shipwreck. Paul is going to Rome. He's a prisoner. There's a shipwreck. They make it to land, and there are some heathen there, and there's a fire, and out of the fire comes a viper, and attaches itself to Paul. And Paul shakes it off, and nothing happens. And they first thought that Paul was a murderer, but when he shook it off, now they said he's a god. People are fickle. Amen? So one day, boy, that's he's the greatest thing since peanut butter. She's an amazing lady. And the next day, boy, was I fooled. We're all fooling each other, aren't we? God's the only perfect one. Praise the Lord. And why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Malachi 1, a son honoreth his father, a servant his master. If I then be a father, where is mine honor? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar. Ye offer the blind for sacrifice. One of two things will happen if your heart changes toward the Lord. Number one, you will retrieve your commitment that you made to honor the Lord. Another song that we sang at my ordination just comes to mind. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. What's the verse in Matthew, Richard? What am I thinking? What's the verse? He's not fit for the kingdom of God. If he turns back, if any man turn back, he's not fit for the kingdom of God. That's not it, but that's close. Amen? And so if our perception of God changes, we will take back the commitment that we made. We will no longer honor that commitment that we made for the Lord. And who was it? Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed. And number two, you will regret the commitment you made to the Lord, because sometimes it cannot be retrieved. You made a commitment and kept that commitment for a number of years, and now at this point in your life, your perception of God has changed. Now you can't go back and change any of that, what you've done, sacrificed, given, said. It's all there. You can't retrieve it. That's when our perception of God changes. But it is exactly the opposite when our perception of God changes for good. He's worthy. Amen? He's worthy of everything. He's worthy of all things. One disappointment too many. He hasn't answered my prayer. It's the last time. I'm just going to quit praying. Don't quit praying. Just keep on praying. Before the crucifixion and before the resurrection, Mary brought that alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she broke it and anointed the Lord for the burial. Mark 14:4, the disciples had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? Remember, we preached on this recently. My time, my substance, why did I waste? John chapter 12, Judas Iscariot said the same thing. Why was not this ointment sold for so much? Because it would have been sold for this, and we could have given the money to the poor. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but he was a thief and held what was in the bag. You have Matthew 26, verse 8. But when his disciples saw it, they said, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? And the Lord said, because Mary, this is a great truth, the Lord said, let her alone. She hath wrought a good work on me. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Wheresoever the gospel shall be preached, this also which she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. She's come aforehand. Before the crucifixion, before the resurrection, what great faith. She saw beyond the cross. She saw beyond the disappointment. She knew what was going to happen by faith. Isn't that amazing? The disciples didn't understand. Boy, they certainly ought to understand. You ever say that about somebody? Man, if anybody ought to get it, they ought to get it, you know? And they don't get it. But here's Mary. She got it. And she looked beyond the cross, beyond the disappointment, and she anointed the Lord. She saw the resurrection. That's what she saw. She anointed him for the burial, and she saw that resurrection. There's a song that says, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. Sometimes it's one disappointment too many. Well, I could handle this and I can handle this, but here we are again. Here's the same disappointment. Here's another disappointment. And sometimes we pick up our coat. We pick up the leaf. We pick up what we put down for the Lord to walk on. We take back, we retrieve our commitment. We are disappointed. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. Turn to Psalm 73. I wish Lee was here, because I would say, now we're through with the introduction and we can start the message. I'm just kidding, Gary. Psalm 73. I want you to see this, because it's so we so identify with it. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. I mean, all of us. Elijah was a man of like passion. So we all experience the same things. David, who was the sweet psalmist of Israel, and I mean, the man after God's own heart, is saying something here. This is absolutely amazing. Look at verse 1. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. As for me, I almost fell. I've almost fallen. Just man falleth 7 times, but riseth up again. So if you're fallen today, if you're away from God today, just get back up. Amen. But here's the truth. Why were your steps almost gone? For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death. Their strength is firm. They're not in trouble like other men. Verse 7, their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They speak loftily. Verse 8, verse 12, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain. I mean, he just goes on and on and on. I'm envious. I look at somebody else, and I'm living for the Lord, and they're not. And look at their life, and covetousness begins to come in, envy. And people can change their perspective. And it says, when I thought and to know this, verse 16, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I therein. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Verse 22. So foolish was I. At first, he was envious at the foolish. Now, he says, so foolish was I. It's not about what we have. Amen? It's not about reputation. It's not about any of those things. It's all about serving our Lord Jesus Christ. Because one day it will be worth it all. You have verse 24. Verse 23. God said to him, nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. And afterward, receive me to glory. God is the strength of my heart. And it goes on. The whole psalm is really, really good. Galatians 6:9. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. And we will. Could be a difficult day. Could be a great day. Could be an easy day for you. tomorrow could be a hard day. Well, thanks a lot, Pastor. Yeah, tomorrow, who knows what tomorrow is going to bring, right? Next week. Oh, it's a great week next week. Surprise. You could be disappointed. Amen. I mean, we don't know. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. And what's the thing, the verse or the saying? I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. And so we look for a day that he's coming again. We look for a day when there's no sickness and no sin and no heartache. And it's all because of Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, that we could enjoy eternity. Amen? Our perception. Religion. Church. Jesus. Yeah, I believe in God. The devils believe in God. Well, you know, it's no big deal. It's a big deal. It's a really big deal. And when you have the right perception, it's throw the coat down. Go get the colt. Sing Hosanna. Praise him. Worship him. He's the king. He's the Messiah. But if the perception changes and he's not important, he doesn't have the preeminence, he's not first place, then it changes everything, doesn't it? Let's love him with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength, all our might. At least for 5 minutes. At least until we leave this place. Let's ask him to continue putting that in our heart, but at least now in this invitation time, make Jesus first place in your life. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, bless your word now. You are everything to us. You are the creator, the sustainer, the terminator of life. You are eternal life. You are abundant life. You're everything. And so many times people are moved by the opinions of others, and it changes everything. May we see who you are today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's